for listening to this message from More to Life Ministries.
Church, we have been studying the Holy Spirit for the last 7 weeks. This is installment number 7. It is message number 7, and I'm getting close to being finished with this, but I thank you so much for your attentiveness to it. Today I'm going to kind of pick up. I'm going to give you a synopsis here real quick, but I'm going to kind of pick up where we've been. And if you missed any of those, you can go back and find them online. And I would encourage you to do so, not because I want you to hear my sermon. I want you to learn who the Holy Spirit is and what He wants to do in your life. That's what I want. And if you missed any of it, go back and listen. Go back and listen. Because, listen, He is many times the forgotten part of the Trinity. A part that we set aside. That growing up when I was younger, it was never talked about. The Holy Spirit just wasn't talked about. I've got some friends here, some great friends, some people that I grew up with and went to school with, and they went to Christian Day School with me. There's a group of them here today. And I'm thinking that if you continued on there, you may not have ever heard this sermon before, but you'll hear it today. And I'm just praying about that and for that, because I know that I didn't growing up. I didn't hear. We didn't preach from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, at least not in a good way. Not in an informative way. And that's where we're going to be today. If you find 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be there. And we've been talking about the gifts. But before that, at the very beginning, we just talked about who the Holy Spirit was. We introduced Him. He's the Helper. He's the Paracletos. All the things that He does in John 14, 15 to 16. He is our encourager. He is our counselor. He's our comforter. He's our guide. He's our tutor. He teaches us and He reminds us. He convicts us. He does all of those things, and they're all wonderful things. The indwelling Holy Spirit that happens the second you get saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. I told you last week you've all been given a gift, right? I'm just giving you a little review right now. Acts 2:38 says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's what happens when you get saved. When you truly, this morning, when you got saved, when you gave your life to Christ, you received the Holy Spirit. You received the Holy Spirit. He says that. He says we have that free gift, and here's the gift. He's the gift, and He's the giver of gifts. He's the gift, and He's the producer of fruit. He is the gift. Some of us receive the gift and never unwrap it. Some of us receive the gift and only unwrap it for personal reasons. Because all those reasons, all those things that I just named that He does as counselor, comforter, and a helper, and all those are all about me. He helps me every day. He reminds me every day. He teaches me every day. He counsels me every day. He's my holy filter. Some of you need to work on that. He's your filter. Let Him be your filter. So He's my holy filter. He does that. He convicts me in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. He does that every day. But all of those are about me. They're about me. But He didn't give you the Holy Spirit to be about you. He did seal you with His Spirit. He did. He's yours. But He gave you His Holy Spirit so that He might flow out of you into someone else, onto someone else, ministering to the good of the body, not just for you. We looked at that. Turn with me real quick, just as a reminder from last week. John chapter 7, verse 37. Really cool little passage on the last day of the feast, it says. John 7:37. It's the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. It's the last day of the last feast of the year before Passover. There will be no more feast that year. And the first 7 days of the Feast of the Tabernacles, they would come and they would pour water out on the altar. And as they pour water out on the altar, it represented God's provision for them while they were in the wilderness on their way to the Promised Land. And on the 8th day, they would not pour water out on the altar, and they would celebrate the fact that they have now moved into the Promised Land. And Jesus stood up on the 8th day. It says, on the last day of the great feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture said, out of his heart flow rivers of living water." Now, there's a whole lot interesting about this. I preached this about a year ago. A great passage, a whole lot of good stuff. But just as a side note, Jesus didn't stand up and holler a whole lot. He didn't, but he did right here. He stood up and he cried out. Most of the time, he was very calm when he spoke to people. But he stood up and he cried out because it was important. He wanted them to hear. You're looking at the living water, is what he said. If you're thirsty, come to me and drink, is what he said. And out of you will flow rivers of living water. And I want you to look at the next verse. It's very, very important to what we're talking about. The next verse, verse 39, says, now this he said about the Spirit, capital S. About the Holy Spirit. Not little S, my Spirit, but about the Holy Spirit. This he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Because he was still with them, they hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. In the Old Testament, we told you that you would see the Holy Spirit show up in power, and he would rest on prophets, priests, and kings, and whoever he chose to rest on, and he would move through them in power. But now he has come to indwell us. John 14 says, to be with us, to be in us, and to be with us forever. That's what he says. That's what he does. He's in us and he's with us. Can I get it? That's pretty good. He's in us and he will be with us forever. But that's still about us, right? But this was not about us. Out of you will flow rivers of living water. Is it flowing out of you today? Is it flowing out? It ought to be flowing out of you, right? Listen, as we're filled with the Spirit, next week I'm going to talk to you a little bit about just, I know it seems like a reverse order, but I'm going to talk about that final part of the gift today, and next week we're going to look at what it looks like to be baptized in the Spirit. And sometimes we picture baptism like we picture going under. I get that, and we picture it falling on us, but it also, it's bubbling up within us, is what this passage says, right? You already have him, he just wants to come out. Right? You already have him. You got all of the Holy Spirit you're going to get. When you're baptized with the Spirit, you don't get an extra portion of the Holy Spirit. He's already there. He just says, let me out. Let me out and use me. I want to use you. Would you let me use you? That's really what this is about. It is the pouring out of his Spirit onto other people. Because I'm just about to start today. Just as a reminder, I want you to read this from you. Because when we talk about spiritual gifts, and we mentioned, from Ephesians chapter 4, we've got the ministerial gifts, but nobody has a problem with those, right? Pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and, evangelists. Nobody's got a problem with those, really. And then we talked last week about, we call the motivational gifts from Romans chapter 12. And there's all the things that you see there from prophecy shows up again, and exhortation, and giving, and all the stuff that we see extra, and we talk about the extra gifts of hospitality, and the things we'll mention, like administration and help later on in 1 Corinthians 12. Those are easy gifts. Those are gifts that we can see how they help the body. But today's gifts that we're going to talk about are going to be what we call manifestational gifts, where the Holy Spirit manifests himself in a way, in power, in your life. But all of these are really manifestational gifts, right? When the Holy Spirit shows up in your life and convicts you, he manifests himself in you. Amen? Let me go share a little secret, just a reminder. We just sang, I just want to speak the name of Jesus, right? Every time the Holy Spirit speaks, you know what he does? He speaks the name of Jesus. That's what he does. He never speaks of himself. He never brings glory to himself. He never brings glory to you. You aren't going to bring glory to you, but he will pour it back to Jesus always. That's what he does. Always points back to Christ. It's kind of a litmus test for us when we see someone acting in a gifting and behaving in a way, and they're acting in a gifting that they might have received. Who's getting glory from it? If Jesus doesn't get glory from it, we got to go, wait a minute. What's going on? If it's not pointing back to Jesus, it's not from him. If somebody pointed to his glory, he's a jealous God. I wouldn't try that. I would not try that. Okay? So, kind of set the stage. A spiritual gift. I gave you this 2 weeks ago. A gift from God to do a work of God in God's people for God's glory. Okay? We don't have the Spirit, but it's a gift from God to do a work of God in God's people for God's glory. That's what it is. That's my definition. That's what he does. That's what he's going to do. Okay? He wants to do that in his people, but he wants to get the glory for it. Always. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm going to try to get through it all today because there's a lot here. Now, we went over last week and the week before the first six verses of 1 Corinthians 12. We actually went over the first seven, but I'm going to pick up in verse 7 again. We talked about the fact that there are different varieties of gifts. I just mentioned some of them this morning. There's different ways that God uses them. There's also, he starts off with, hey, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. Paul's saying that because the people in Corinth were ignorant about spiritual gifts. They were using them wrongly. They were using them for their own good. They were using them for their own glory. And that message applies to us not to be ignorant about them because there's ignorance on both sides. Remember me saying that? For those that believe in them, there's ignorance because they think that's all there is. And it's all about them sometimes. They can be. For those that don't believe in them, there's ignorance because they don't believe in them. And we mentioned that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 where he says, don't quench my spirit. There's a quenching of the spirit, and I talked about how it's like dropping a whole swimming pool full of water right on top of a fire. Boom. Just put it out. Quenching of the spirit with our unbelief. And we want to quench the spirit. Amen? I said that in fast forward because I wanted to get to this part. Alright? Verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. How many of you are in each? You are in each. Everyone knows, say, how many? We're all in each, right? To each was given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Not for my good, for the common good. There's only one part of one gift that we'll get to in just a moment that's actually for me, but the building up of me as that happens in the language of a prayer is ultimately for the common good. Because once I am built up in my spirit, I can operate well in his spirit. Amen? So we'll get to that one in just a second. Verse 7, to each for the common good, given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Very important. We'll start with verse 11. Okay? The Holy Spirit is responsible for the doling out of a spiritual gift. And he gives to each as he wills. As he wills. There's a portion we'll look at in just a second in chapter 14, or the end of chapter 12, where it says, do all have this gift? Do all have this gift? And the answer to that is a rhetorical question. The answer is no. We don't all. But he gives to each as he wills. But let me let you in on a little secret about who he gives to. He only gives to those who will receive it. He only gives to those who will desire it and receive it. He'll give to everyone the gift of the Spirit. But as he doles out his gift, he wants you to be willing to be used by him. I mentioned this in an illustration last week, and I just want to remind you of it. Okay? The receiving of spiritual gifts, and this is where the Corinthians got off track. You know, the receiving of spiritual gifts is not about you. It doesn't, you don't become somebody. You're not climbing a ladder. I'm a little higher on the ladder because I have this gift. Or I have this gift. I can almost see them. I got a stripe on my arm for every gift. Look at me, I got five stripes. You see this? That's not what it is. In fact, it's not climbing the ladder at all. It's actually lower. Remember I told you about a limbo? Spiritual limbo with Jesus last week. Remember a limbo bar? How do you remember limbo bars? Especially the skating rink. And you're trying to get under the limbo bar. Limbo lower now. Limbo lower now. Well, listen. Spiritually, Jesus calls us to humble ourselves before him. How low can you get? Not how high can you get. How low can you get? How much will you humble yourself before me. We read last week in Romans chapter 12 at verse 3 where he said, listen, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. God didn't get a bargain with you. You're not a first-round draft pick. How low can you go? So to the people who would say and humble themselves, Lord, I need you. I desire you to work through me. I want you to flow out of me. I humble myself before you. And Lord, I got one job, and that's listen to you and do what you say. That's it. That was what the first church did in Acts, right? They listened to the Holy Spirit. They did what he said. They didn't have this great evangelistic plan. They just listened to the Holy Spirit, did what he said, and the Lord added to their number daily those who will be saved. Constantly. They were just willing to be used by him. And they brought themselves low. They said, it's not about me, Lord, but it's about you. First, when you're willing to do that, God will use you. He desires to use you. Now, I'm going to explain these nine gifts. There's nine listed right here. And we're going to divide them up into three sets of three. And as we do, I want you to understand this. The Holy Spirit is the gift. And if you're a believer in this room, and this message is primarily to believers, if you're a believer in this room, you already have the Holy Spirit. You already do. You're saved. If you choose to never be allow him to move in power in your life in the way of giving you and working in your spiritual gifting, you're still going to go to heaven. Because unlike, I know there's some denominations that believe if you don't speak in tongues, you're not going to heaven. The Bible doesn't say that. Not true. So don't. We'll start with that. That's a no. It also, the denominations believe that it's evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The evidence. It's not the evidence. It's a evidence. One of many. So we're going to be very balanced in our approach to this. I'm going to be kind of teachy today, but I want you to follow along with me. Three different sections, and they're going to go like this. There are the revelational gifts, the gifts where he reveals. There are also the vocal gifts, the gifts where we're communicating. And there's also the power gifts, the three of each. The revelational gifts, God wants to reveal himself in a supernatural way in your life into someone else's. Not about you, it's about them. If God reveals anything to you in one of these three ways, it's not for you, it's for someone else. Remember I told you last week how you might have received the gift, or maybe 2 weeks ago, you opened the gift and you went, I don't want that gift. And you just set it on the shelf, kind of like that cake plate that I showed you that we had since our wedding. You know, it's 37 years this year. It's just sitting there. No, we never used it. It's beautiful. We like it, but it's not for us, so it's just sitting on the shelf. And so you might have looked at it and said, what do I need to know about a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom? Is that what you have for me, Lord? I don't need that. Not about you. It's not about you. It's about what God wants to do through you in the body. To minister to someone else that you may or may not know in a moment that you may or may not recognize. But he does, because he goes before you always. He knows what's going on in the life of the guy sitting next to you, the lady sitting next to you. He knows what's going on in your neighbor's life. And God knows what he wants to use to try to reach them or to minister to them if they're already a believer. Will you allow him to? Will you allow him to, sir? That's really the question. Will you allow him to? Will you allow him to? So, let's begin with revelational gifts. Three of them. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. Being able to differentiate between spirits. Okay? Discerning between spirits. Let's start with a word of wisdom. Last week I mentioned prophecy to you, and I talked about how prophecy, and we'll get to it in a second, how prophecy was not foretelling, but forthtelling, the telling of truth, the speaking of truth. And we talked about how, and we'll look at it in 1 Corinthians 14, that in prophecy there's some specific things, and it's to edify and encourage the body, to lift the body up, to build the body up, and he'll use that prophetic gift. Well, the only time that a prophetic gift can be foretelling or in the future telling is with a word of wisdom. Because with a word of wisdom, God can tell you what's to come. With a word of wisdom, The Holy Spirit can prepare you for something. He might allow you to give warning to something. He might allow you to give, He might give you a word of wisdom for preparation for someone for something. I remember very vividly, a number of years ago, Fran and I went up to the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City. And we're at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, and she and I and our kids had rode over with Stevie and his family and his mom and dad from Pennsylvania. They'd driven over. We drove into New York City. If you ever get a chance to do that, don't. We drove right into New York City. So we're there that night, real quick story. We're there that night, and they call us up on stage. The pastors in the room come up on stage, and they take us up in the choir loft, and they had people pray over us, any pastors. And so Fran and I are up there. And man prayed over me, spoke right into my life. It was a powerful time. But this woman looks at Fran, and she just hugs her. And she holds her really tight. And she won't let go. And then she breaks the embrace for a second, and she says, "It's going to be okay." And then she hugs her again. And she holds her. And she holds her. And the way Fran would describe it, she would tell you that she felt like Jesus was holding her. She just felt complete peace, and she said three different times, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." So, sounded good. That was all she said. That was all she did. She prayed over it. That was all she did. We left that place that night. We drive over the Brooklyn Bridge. It stops at Center Street. As we're coming off the Brooklyn Bridge, we end up in a five-car pileup, right in the middle of a five-car pileup. And then my big Silverado crunched at both ends. People went to the hospital all around us, several of them, the guy right behind me. We had a scratch on it. When we got out of the truck, we were able to minister to the people that we hit right in front of us. A two young girls that had been at the church with us, New York City, imagine that. Because it is, they've been with us in that place. We ended up driving them home, ministering to them. But that woman, she said she knew that what happened was the Lord had given her a word of wisdom to speak to Fran, "It's going to be okay." So my wife was very calm, very filled with peace the whole time. We stood on the side of the road for hours. It's going to be okay. That sounds very simple, but do you know that the Lord can do that through you? If you have the Holy Spirit, He can give you a word of wisdom to speak. And that word of wisdom might not be a future telling like that. It might just be He gives you wisdom for a situation. You might be counseling somebody in a spiritual counseling, and you hear from the Lord, and He gives you answers, which He will do. He gives you direction for them to go. Word of wisdom. Amen? It's from Him. It's not about you. It's about them and Him. Right? Them and Him. Word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is not future telling, but present and past. God can show you something that happened in the present, or that's happening in the present, or that happened in the past. It happens all the time in counseling. All the time. The Lord will speak something in the room, and all of a sudden I just know. And I don't know how I know it, but the Holy Spirit told me. And sometimes they'll look at me and go, "How did you know that?" The Holy Spirit told me. That's all I can say. The Holy Spirit told me. Because he did. A word of knowledge is something that He'll give you in the moment for someone else. Not just for, again, these manifestational gifts are not about you. That was the mistake that the Corinthian church made immediately. They thought it was about them. And Paul's like, "Whoa, come on back here. It's not about you, bud. It's about others and Him. Others and Him." So a word of knowledge. Now there's plenty of examples in Scripture. I was trying to give you some present day examples because we could go on forever, and I could take you some examples in Scripture to both of those. All right, but you can go to James chapter 1, and you don't have to turn there. But there it is. He's going to speak to us about wisdom, and He says, "If you lack wisdom, ask Him, a believer." Okay, James is writing to the church. A believer, if you lack wisdom, ask Him for wisdom. He's going to give you wisdom. Any of y'all lack wisdom? Me. I want you to know this, okay? A word of wisdom and a word of knowledge is not about all wisdom and all knowledge. It's not about that. You don't have all wisdom. You're not Solomon, the wisest man in the world. You're not all-knowing. Only Jesus is all-knowing. Only God, right? He's all-knowing. We're not all-knowing. But he can give you what he wants to give you that's pertinent to the moment so that he can be used and glorified and so that they might receive healing. Okay, write this down. When God reveals, he reveals in order to heal. He always wants to heal. It may be a spiritual healing. It may be a physical healing. But he always wants to heal. And ultimately, it may be in the way of a warning, but it's still healing, isn't it? Because if he gets glory, it's going to be healing. If it causes me to not go down a road I'm supposed to go down, it's going to be healing. Amen? So when he's a God of revelation. Ephesians chapter 1 says, hey, listen, he's a God of wisdom and revelation. That's what he wants to do, right? So let him. So let him. Real quick, I'm trying to get through all of these. Discerning between spirits. That one sounds a little wrong. Discerning between spirits. Listen, God speaks to you, so does the enemy of your soul. He yells. He shouts. God whispers. He's the still small voice. The enemy, he's screaming. The enemy, he's bullying. He's intimidating. He's pushing. He's always, always, always trying to drive you somewhere you don't want to be. He's lying to you. He's a lying spirit always. He's always pushing. And he's constantly in your ear, but the Holy Spirit's going to be with you. And the Lord will let you discern between spirits. One of the phrases that gets used an awful lot in counsel, and sometimes just within our family, is who told you that? Who told you that? Now, I don't mean who told you that like it was Frank or Ralph. I mean, who told you that? Was that from Jesus? No, it really wasn't. So you can tell if it was from Jesus, right? You can tell by the tone. You can tell by the purpose with which it was given. You can tell if it's truth or a lie. You hear it immediately. If it's accusatory, who told you that? It's a great thing to ask when you're counseling with someone, when you're talking with someone about the Lord, and you hear in them, they're believing a lie. Now, let me add a little caveat to that. If you're in the Holy Spirit's the counselor, so any one of y'all can give godly counsel. If you're walking with the Lord and you desire to be humble and low before him, he can use you to give godly counsel to someone in the moment. I would encourage men to do that with men and women with women. Right? But you can give godly counsel to someone in the moment. You can. But when you do that, make sure that he's getting glory from it, not you. Make sure that you're hearing from the Lord what you say, and ask the question, who told you that? Just ask, who told you that? Is that from the Lord? And then you can point them back to truth, because you're going to hear truth. This is what I want to encourage you on real quick. If they begin to spew lies, big mistake I made lots of times, especially with my children when they were younger. They begin to spew something, and I hear it, and I jump on it like a duck on a dream bug. I mean, if they say something and it's a lie, I'm like, wait a minute, that's a lie. And if I'd have been listening, the Holy Spirit would have said, shut up, boy. And listen. They needed to listen more. They needed to be heard more. And just hear their daddy say, no, that's a lie. I wish I'd done that more. I have some times in my life I'd like to walk back. And we do. Because I didn't listen to hear the heart. I just immediately jumped on it like the guy with the answer that wanted to fix it. And that shouldn't have been me. If I'd have been listening to the Holy Spirit, it would have been me. Because if they know that they're heard, they'll listen to you. If they're not heard, if they don't feel like they're heard, they're not going to listen to what you have to say. So the Lord gives you the ability to distinguish between spirits. Amen? A gift from the Holy Spirit. Revelation gift. Revealing gift. All to his glory. Let's look at another one here real quick. Or three more. There are the vocal gifts. These are the ones that people get twisted up about. Alright? The vocal gifts. Supernatural communication between us and heaven. Between us and God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about that if you speak in the tongues of angels, it doesn't matter. So, Let me just clarify something real clear. Most of y'all have been with us for a long time, and so you know. But if you're new to us and you haven't heard, I just want you to hear our stance on these type of gifts, okay? One, they still exist. Two, they're real. They're abused lots of times. They really are. But I want you to know some truth about it. As I mentioned a while ago, the gift of tongues is not evidence, is not the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's simply a evidence. Simply a evidence. You can have the gift of tongues. And the gift of tongues can manifest itself in two different ways primarily. One is in the way of a prayer language, you communicating with your Heavenly Father. And He gives you that language, and it can come in a number of ways that we'll talk about next week. In some cases, you see it through the laying on of hands and prayer. In some cases, it's just because He wants to give it to you and you're open. Because I never had anyone lay my hands on me to receive that gift. He simply gave me that gift as I had prayed and waited and prayed and waited and prayed and waited and prayed and waited. And He gave it to me. And I was able to communicate in a way. And that's not, the gift of praying in a prayer language is not for anyone else other than you. Jude verse 20 says, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying always in the Spirit. So it describes that prayer language of praying in a prayer language. It describes it as the building up of your spirit, building yourself up. It's the only one of the nine that aren't for other people, although, like I said, arguably, in secondary, it's for other people. Because as I spend time with the Lord praying in the Spirit, He's going to strengthen my spirit. He's going to edify my spirit. He's going to enrich my spirit so that I can minister out of that. Amen? So if God's given you that gift, praise Him. If He's given you that gift, use it. Romans chapter 12, remember last week? Having gifts, use them. Well, use them. Use them. Next week, we're going to talk about the proper way to use them within the body. We're going to look at that. But use it. Use it. But then there's also, not only that, sometimes the gift of tongues is meant for the body only when there is the gift of interpretation along with it. If someone speaks in a tongue, they're speaking to the Lord. And there's always an interpretation with it. The interpretation, lots of times it might be prophetic, it might be a word of knowledge, it might be a word of wisdom, it might be a word of warning, but it's the Lord speaking through someone, and I'm just going to keep these two together, the gift of interpretation. And Paul says, listen, if you have the gift of a tongue, pray to receive the gift of interpretation. You can have both. It can be the same, we've had that a number of times happen in this congregation where someone has spoken in a tongue and then given an interpretation immediately following because they have the gift of interpretation. Without the gift of interpretation, the person with the tongue can keep silent. Unless they know that there's someone there that can interpret. And it's our job as pastors, if that occurred, we just say, thank you for that word, but if there's no one here to interpret, it's not for me. I'm on to that. It's pretty simple. This isn't a scary thing. This is the Holy Spirit of the living God. Why should we be scared of Him, right? There's no fear. There's no fear. He gifts us because He wants the body to minister from it and be glorified through it. He be glorified, ministering to the body, always. So, there's a gift of tongues, there's a gift of interpretation. If you choose, listen to me carefully, if you say, I don't want that gift, it's okay. It's okay. It really is. The Lord's not just going to strike you down and say, you're going to speak in tongues right now. Now, I won't tell Him that because He's Jesus. He can do what He wants, right? He can. But chances are pretty good if your heart is close to it, if you don't believe in it, if you don't desire it. But I'll just tell you that before the Lord gave me the gift to pray in a prayer language, years before, He had given me multiple gifts that I recognized as His baptism. Years before, I had been operating in His gift, in this ministry for a long, long time that had nothing to do with a tongue or with an interpretation. It didn't. And so I knew, if you asked me if I was baptized with Spirit, absolutely. You could not convince me otherwise, because the tongue was not evidence of that. It was just part of it. Just part of it. Now, every one of these gifts are available to believers. Available. Do you get everyone? No. But if the Lord wants you to have it during a certain time with a certain purpose, if you're open to it, He'll give it to you. You have not because you asked for it, or you asked wrongly, with wrong motives, in order to spend it on yourself. And you're not going to use this on yourself, right? That's not the purpose of it. So there's the gift of tongues, there's the gift of interpretation, and there's also the gift of prophecy, which we spent a long time on last week, but I'll ask you to turn to one place, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, probably just a page over from where you're at, and I'll reread what we read, verse 3, last week. It says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. The one who prophesies speaks to people for their edification, for their building up, for their exhortation, which is encouraging. He speaks in the way of mercy for consoling them. Okay, when someone brings a prophecy in that way, it can also be a word of wisdom. It can also be a word of knowledge. But it's always building up the body. It always has a purpose. Always has a purpose. So a pastor that rightly divides the word of truth can speak in a prophetic way. He brings it in a powerful way, and the Spirit speaking through him, and that is also the gift of prophecy, the complete truth foretold in a way that points right back to Jesus. In power. Every church needs that, amen? Every believer needs that. That's why Paul's going to say, look, if you want one, choose prophecy. Pray for that. Pray that you might speak in a prophetic way. Pray that you might speak in a way that would build someone up. The building up of the body. Pray for the gift of exhortation. For the gift of encouragement. And he's going to use it in the way of prophecy. So all of those are verbal gifts. They're communication gifts. They require me to open my mouth. Right? They require that. They require you to open your mouth. Three more real quick. They're the gift of power. The gift of power. And the first one's going to seem kind of harmless, and it's the gift of faith. Well, don't we all have faith? Yep. We just read last week in Romans 12, verse 3, that he's given each one of us a measure of faith. We all have a measure, we all have enough faith to receive this gift of grace, right? He's given you a measure of faith unto salvation, so you're able to receive the gift of grace, because he offers us grace and we receive it through faith. Amen? That's the way it comes about. But he gives some people supernatural faith. Powerful faith. Faith that goes beyond just a saving faith. And yes, our faith is constantly being built up. That's what we exercise our faith anytime we put our trust in him. Our faith is growing. But he gives people at certain times the gift of faith that says, I believe you, God, and we're going to move ahead. I'll tell you, he did that years ago with this building. I can remember specifically two people, Pastor Danny and Corey Finlod, both saying, you know what, we're going to break ground and we're going to start building. That's what we're going to do. We didn't have enough money to do that, but we're going to do it. And we're just going to build, and we're just going to trust the Lord, and that was faith. And they said, and we're still operating on faith. Every week we operate on faith. But he gives some in a special, supernatural way with an overabundance of faith. And those people are leaders. They don't have to, I'm not just talking about leadership within the church. It's wonderful if leadership within the church has the gift of faith. But you could be a leader in a situation where God gifts you with the gift of faith and you said, I'll step out and believe you, God, and I'll speak up to that. You're not going to use these other gifts if you don't exercise faith. You certainly won't use the other two gifts of power in the way of healing or in the way of miracles if you don't exercise the gift of faith. Amen? He's going to give you that gift, and you're going to say, swallow hard. Okay, Lord, I believe you. I'm going to speak to this man. And you're exercising the gift of faith. very, very important for the body to walk in that. You get the healing. Now, we pray for healing all the time. We pray for healing all the time. God still heals, doesn't he? This is the one everybody says, even the folks that say the gifts are ceased, but I'm going to pray for healing. Wait a minute, I thought the gifts ceased. No, God still heals. He still heals in a supernatural way. Maybe promise not to use her as an example all the time, so I'm not going to, but I'm going to do it one more time. Because we pray for her healing. We pray for her healing before chemo. God chose to do it differently. That's okay. Because now I'm praying for her healing through chemotherapy and what other treatments we have. And if God doesn't heal her that way, he'll heal her by calling her home to heaven. I don't think that's what he's doing. But I promise you, she will be healed. I promise you, she will be. She's got child, and he's going to heal her. One of those three ways. And we trust him for that. But God still heals on this side of heaven. Do you know that? We've seen him do it. I've witnessed him do it. I've witnessed so many times. But I'm going to tell you a real quick story that has several of these in there, and I'm going to leave a name out. Good, very good friend of mine, okay? Very good friend of mine just told me the story this last week. This last week, he happens to be at a gas station, and I know this story could freak some of you out, so just hold on. All right? It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay. He's at a gas station, and he's pumping gas, and he's talking to the Lord, and he's looking around, and all of a sudden, and this is the first time it's going to stretch you a little bit, he said, I got this pain in my elbow, and I don't know, and so immediately I'm like, Lord, why is my elbow hurting? He said, it's not about you. So he starts looking around, and he sees a man at the next gas pump, and he's having a conversation with the Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to go pray for him. So he leans over, and he speaks to the guy at the next pump, and he says, this is going to sound crazy, but is your elbow hurting you? And the man's like, how did you know that? He said, I can't straighten it out. I haven't been able to straighten it out for months now. It's so rough, and this is all I got. And my friend said, listen, again, this is going to sound crazy to you, but I think the Lord wants to heal your elbow today, and he wants me to pray for you. Can I pray for you? No. That was his first word. No, I just know that. No, hard. He said, oh, okay. Then I won't. He said, I promise you it won't be goofy or crazy. I'm just trying to be obedient to the Lord. So I'll pray for you whether I come over there, and I'm not going to touch you, but I'm going to pray for you anyway. But, and they go back and forth for a minute, and he's telling everybody his elbow, and then finally the guy says, okay, you can pray for me. So he walks over. He simply lifts his hand in the air and says, Lord Jesus, you told me that his elbow was hurting, which is a word of knowledge, by the way. You told me his elbow was hurting. I believe you told me to pray for his elbow for healing. So, in your mighty name, Lord, I don't know what's wrong with it, but you do. I'm just praying that you heal his elbow today. Just heal his elbow. And he, amen. And he looks at him and he says, try to move it. And he couldn't move it. And this is another, this will stretch you. But he says, in my mind, in my spirit, I felt like the Holy Spirit said, tell him to do it seven times. Now, there is no magic formula when God wants to heal, all right? There is no magic formula. But he told him, he said, listen, this is crazy, but do it seven times. And the guy looked at him, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And he straightened his arm out, and my friend simply said, well, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, and went and got his truck and drove off. That's all he said. He didn't tell him his name. He didn't tell him what church he went to. He didn't tell him anything. He just said, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, and he went off, and he said the coolest thing. He said, I drove off, and I looked in my rearview mirror, and the guy's going like this. Just this week, and that didn't happen in Zimbabwe. That happened in Okeechobee. Just this week. Because God's a God that still heals. And he'll heal with a people who will allow themselves to be used by him. Because this man that I'm talking about is one of the most humble men you'll ever meet. That's why I'm not using his name, because he would not want me to use his name. But he did give me permission to share that story. He said, if God's going to be glorified from it, share it. If he's going to be glorified, and he was glorified, amen? Amen. He was glorified. The miraculous gift, I would call that on the level of miracles, because miraculous is when God supersedes the laws of nature. Not every healing is miraculous. Sometimes healing, frank healing, it's not miraculous healing. He's going to do it long term. You know, Jesus did that long term. He healed the one man's eyes, and it wasn't healed immediately. Some people he just spoke to, some people he just touched, but one of them, his eyes come clear, and he says, everybody looks like trees. And I'm not quite there. He said, okay, let's do this again. And now it's clear. So God sometimes heals over time, doesn't he? And he heals different ways. In Scripture, it refers to the gift of healing. Because he'll heal not only physically, but he'll heal spiritually, he'll heal emotionally, he'll heal mentally. Amen? He does those things. He's not just interested in the physical, but he's interested in the spiritual. He's interested in the emotional. It's a supernatural healing when chains fall off of somebody, isn't it? Spiritual chains of bondage that they've been walking around in, they haven't been able to move or break free from, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. So the miraculous, though, sometimes he does it now. And when he does, all you have to do is say, okay, Lord, that was all you. He wanted no credit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, he's going to call you out. 100-year-old people don't have babies. But Abraham and Sarah did. There's a whole list of miracles in Scripture. You know that. They still happen today. They still happen today. God still moves mountains, but he always gets to name the mountains. Okay, we're not a place that believes it. You can just speak to something. If you have enough faith, it'll move. No? And if the Holy Spirit tells you to speak to it, and he calls it, then it'll move. Because he's the one in charge, not me. Not you. Amen? So the gifts of the Spirit are not scary. Because they're from him. If I think I'm out of control, them, that'd be scary. That'd be scary. My friend, by the way, he's not setting up a tent and saying, hey, show up here and I'll heal everybody. He doesn't walk around. The gifts are not resonant at all times. They're resonant when the Holy Spirit deems them so. When he wills. In other words, I don't walk around, God has healed. I've watched him heal through me before. But I don't walk around going, I gotta get healed. Let me show up at the hospital and clear that place out. That's not the way it works. When the Holy Spirit says, pray for this individual, that I'm going to heal them today. When he gives you that word and you do so in faith, then God will do what God will do in that moment. It's not up to you. You're strictly a conduit. Amen? You know what a conduit is? That means he flows through you. You're just a pipeline from heaven to that person. That's all you get to be. He flows through you. So, the gift's not being resident all the time. I'm almost done. I promise. They're not resident all the time. But the more you walk with him, the more you limbo with the Spirit, the more you say, Lord, take me lower. Let me walk in humility. Make me holy. Listen, everybody wants the power of the Holy Spirit. Not everybody. Some people want the power of the Holy Spirit, but he's a holy Holy Spirit first. He's going to call you the holy first. The indwelling Spirit that convicts you of things, you better answer. You better come in obedience there. You better bow before him. And if you're willing to do that and come low before them, God will use you. And the more you answer in obedience when he calls you, the more he'll use you. The more you answer his call, the more you allow yourself to be a mouthpiece for him, the more God will fill your mouth. So he may not be resident all the time, but you'll see him move in power more and more as you continue to lower yourself and say, Lord, I just want to be humble before you, and I just want to be your servant. I just want to be your servant. It would be a beautiful thing to see every single one of you that are believers operate in your gift every single week. And I'm not talking about the interrupting of service. I'm talking about you showing up here 20 minutes before and ministering to one another. And you staying 20 minutes after and ministering to one another and using your gift. Amen? Using your gift, because that's what he wants to do. And I'm not just talking about on Sunday. I'm talking about during the week when you come in contact with somebody ministering to one another. Because he didn't give you the Holy Spirit just for Sunday morning. He doesn't gift you just to be used here. This is a large crowd. It's a big crowd. It's a big room, a lot of things. So we're probably not going to call you up on stage. Matter of fact, any of us that take the stage, we do so with fear and trembling, I'm going to tell you. We pray a lot every week. Lord, reduce me. Let me go low before you. You increase, we decrease. It doesn't matter who it is. Pastor James, in the same way. Pastor Paul, any man that fills this pulpit is going to spend time, lots of time, on their face ahead of time because this is serious stuff. The Christian life is not a game. It's not a game. And it's not meant to be toyed with. And the Holy Spirit is, first of all, holy. He will make you more like Him. He will give you, He will produce fruit in your life that will be the oil that will allow you to get along with one another and you to get along with me and vice versa. And He'll produce gifts and give you gifts so that you can minister to one another to His glory. Amen? Amen. I want to close then. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, I know I've been talking to believers the whole time. I've been talking to people that already know Christ and talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know Him, He desires for you to come to Him. He wants you to surrender your life to Him. You're not here by mistake. He loves you. He sees you. He knows everything you've ever done. And He loves you anyway. And He's calling you to come out of it. Okay? He's a loving God. He can't be more loving towards you, but He's also a just God. He's a just God. And so, when I come to Him, I come loving. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if you're here today and you don't know Him but you'd like to, I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads. If you don't know Him but you'd like to, if you just lift your hand up and somebody will come to you right now. Jesus is calling you. We're speaking His name to you. He desires a relationship with you. I know we've already had one person give their life to Christ. Pray for Him. Is there anyone else? Your chance. Don't leave here. I have a lady in the back and I ask them to please step to her. Morgan, you step to her right there. Cindy, thank you. Praise Jesus. Somewhere else. We'll come to you. Just keep your hand up, please. Praise Him. Anywhere else. Don't miss Him. Don't miss Him. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. For all of you, church, as we come to a close, about Jesus. I spent this time talking about the gifts today just to inform you what He has for you. Again, not climbing the rung of a ladder, but in humility being used by Him. Because if you'll receive Him, out of your life will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water flowing out of you into your neighbor, out of you into your friend, out of you into your workplace. And He wants to do that in power. He wants to do that in power. So heads bowed and eyes closed. If you just turn your palms to heaven, if you would say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I don't know that I've ever done this. I don't know that I've ever meant this. I know that Your Holy Spirit resides in me. I know that I'm saved. But Lord, I just want to be used in power. Lord, baptize me in Your Spirit. Bubble out of me, Lord. Pour out of me. Lord, gift me however You want. I simply desire to be used by you. Whatever that looks like, Lord, whatever that looks like, baptize me in your Spirit today. Lord, we receive that. Whatever you have for us, we receive that. First, I tell you that if you mean that, he does. He does. Lord Jesus, watch your Spirit. Watch your Spirit in a way that only you can. Be glorified in your church, Lord. Lord, not just today, but all throughout the week. Be glorified in your people, Lord. The body of Christ. Let them pour out of, Lord, out of themselves, you into one another. Let them be able-bodied ministers. Let them be conduits for grace. Be high and lifted up, your Father. Be high and lifted up. We worship you. We thank you. We love you, Lord. In your mighty name we pray.
Thank you for tuning in to this message from More to Life Ministries. If you would like to learn more about our mission of seeing lives transformed by Jesus Christ, please visit our website at m2lministries.com.